Sin is a captive, it binds and it holds. Satan will try to abolish your soul. There's only one hope for your destiny, and that one hope is found when you're down on your knees. When I knelt, the blood fell. Sin lost the battle, the Lamb had prevailed. What made all hell tremble rang heaven's bells. When I knelt, the blood fell. After the resurrection, Jesus went to the throne, presented his sacrifice to God alone. Father, it is finished, he proclaimed as heaven cheered. This blood is for all nations, for their redemption, free and clear. When I knelt, the blood fell. Sin lost the battle, the Lamb had prevailed. What made all hell tremble rang heaven's bells. When I knelt, the blood fell. What made all hell tremble rang heaven's bells. When I knelt, the blood fell.
Right, wonderful. Thank you, Brother Ingram. Thank you for the song. And boy, are you glad for the blood of Christ. What a great truth in song. God bless you for being here this morning and coming out on such a filthy day in weather-wise. But it's a good day, for this is the day that the Lord hath made. We're to rejoice and be glad in it. God didn't say unless it's raining, right? So let's rejoice a little bit in the Lord. Romans chapter 1, would you join me there? Romans chapter number 1, we're going to read down through verse number 8. I'm going to speak to you this morning on the most influential people in history. The most influential people in history. Are you there in Romans chapter number 1? Romans chapter number 1, and we're going to begin reading in verse number 1. Let's stand to our feet out of love and respect for the reading of the Word of God. You follow along silently as I read these 8 verses, with our text verse being verse number 8. Verse 1 says, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he had promised before or afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for His name, among whom are ye also the called of Jesus Christ. To all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now notice verse 8 for our text today. First, the apostle says, speaking here to this group of believers, this church, he said, first, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, Now notice the statement, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. Think about that for just a moment. He said your faith is spoken of not just in the vicinity, not just in Rome, throughout the whole world. And I want to take that scripture verse and give you a few illustrations here in just a moment. I want to speak to you about the most influential people in history. Father, meet with us in the short time that we have together this morning. And we ask that you would speak to our hearts concerning your word. We pray, Holy Spirit, that you do the work. Convict us of sin. Would you draw us unto that place of restoration and repentance back to Christ? And then, Father, I pray that as the word of God goes forth, that the power of God would follow it and that you would do your work as you so desire. We love you. Thank you for your word in Christ's name. Amen. You can be seated. Now, I believe in a young earth. I said, I believe in a young earth. I don't believe the earth's been hanging around for 16 quadrillion years. Now, I believe in young earth, and in over 6,000 years of human history, this old world's had some people that's made a great impact, both good and bad. I don't have time to go through a whole list, but, you know, we wouldn't, if it wasn't for Hippocrates, we wouldn't have a lot of the things that we have as far as the science of medicine today. If it wasn't for Johann Gutenberg, we might not have the printing as we have today. These men made an impact in the medical field, in the printing field. Hey, listen, most of you that hopefully your cell phone is off, if it wasn't for Alexander Graham Bell, the concept wouldn't even be there. The principle wouldn't even be there. Hey, this man made an impact on the whole world. Benjamin Franklin and electricity made an impact on the whole world. And I could go on and on and on. You get the picture. There are a lot of people in the history of the world that have been extremely influential by what they did. Now, these men had a great, wonderful impact. But you know, there are some people that didn't have so great an impact. Men like Karl Marx. I said men like Karl Marx and communism. Charles Darwin and the theory of evolution. I said the theory of evolution. You see, a theory is always something that's never been proven, and evolution has never been proven and never will be proven. You know why? Because it's anti-scripture. It's anti-Bible. But he influenced the whole world. Karl Marx influenced the whole world. Adolf Hitler influenced the whole world. And I could go on and on and on and on. But you get the picture. And can I say that for the most part, none of these people had Facebook. They couldn't text. They didn't have cell phones. They didn't have the internet. They had no YouTube and couldn't use airmail. But listen, but they influenced the whole world. How did they do that? They didn't have a lot of the tools that we have access to today. So how were they able to spread their message? How were they able to influence the world? How was their message able to travel around the world? Well, first of all, let me give you a couple things to think about. First of all, their message had to be introduced. Somebody had to introduce. Listen, it started with a thought in their mind, and they had to first develop that thought in their heart and introduce their message. They had to be sold out to their message. You don't think Charles Darwin was sold out to evolution? You don't think Karl Marx was sold out to communism or Adolf Hitler to destruction? These men were sold out. Listen, I could go on and in the perverse world that we live today, I could go on and list you a number of people that are sold out to immorality today. They're sold out to it. They're influencing the world in a negative perspective. But let me say that if these people, how they influenced the world is they had to introduce the message. They had to have a purpose. They had to have a goal in mind. Have you ever read the story of Coca-Cola? Coke had a goal, and that was to put a Coke in the hand of every person on planet Earth. Now, I don't know whether they've accomplished that or not, but I remember years ago we went on a missions trip down to Mexico. And the missionary loaded us up in a van, and I mean we went back into the boonies, man. I mean we went back down this dirt road, turned this, and we went way back up in there. I mean, no electricity, no running water, no toilets, no anything. And we got there, and we drove up, and all the people ran out to the van, and they were greeting everybody. Of course, we couldn't speak Spanish. They couldn't speak English. And so the missionary was interpreting for us, and one of the guys was saying something there to him. And it was a deaf guy, and he was signing to the guy, and he said, they want to know if y'all are thirsty. And I said, man, I'm really thirsty. And I was thinking, you know what, they're going to go get us a bottle of water. So in just a few minutes, that deaf guy run off, and he was gone for about 2 or 3 minutes, and he came back with a bag, and we opened it up, and you know what was in the bag? Coke! They didn't even have electricity. No running water, no toilets. But bless God, they had Coca-Cola. Now, I don't know whether Coke succeeded in putting a Coca-Cola in the hand of everybody on planet Earth, but let me tell you something. It found that village. But you know, the message had to be introduced, didn't it? Coke had to set a goal. Let me tell you something else. Their message had to be promoted by whatever means that they had available to them. You think that these men, both positive and negative, since they did not have the World Wide Web as we do today and all the things that they're accessing, how did they get their message out? Well, first of all, they had to introduce it. Then they had to promote it by whatever means they had available. And you know what most of the means they had available to them? Word of mouth. They had to speak. They talked. They told somebody who told somebody who told somebody else. That's how the message got out. They used the avenues of communication that they had. They openly promoted it, whether it was a philosophy or whether it was a product. And then the third thing I want you to think about is this. Their message had to be persuasive and convincing. Their message had to be persuasive and convincing. You see, the thing about it is Coke had a goal, but they had to produce the product, right? They had to persuade, this is what you need to be drinking. Now listen, I'm not trying to offend you Pepsi people, okay? Because I can already see some of you all got a big frown. Right now, your face is turning blue with Pepsi can blue. I'm not trying, but listen, what they had to do is they had to convince you that Coke was better than Pepsi, that Coke was better than Dr. Pepper, that Coke was better than water. And so they had to have a persuasive message. It had to be proven and tried. Listen, it had to have some authority behind it. And plus, it had to appeal to the need. And you know what? Around the world, people love Coke today. You know why? Because the message was introduced. They promoted it by whatever means that they had at their disposal, and then they were very persuasive and very convincing, and you can't hardly go anywhere on planet Earth without seeing a Coke. You see, what I'm trying to say this morning is without these elements existing, they could not have impacted the whole world. But may I say this morning that there are some figures, there are some folks that we're introduced to in Scripture that were very influential, that impacted the whole world. Can I introduce to you the negative side first? Can I introduce to you this morning the most negative and destructive person in the history of the world? His name is Lucifer. His name is Satan. His name is Destroyer this morning. He has influenced and impacted, listen, the whole world. The whole world. You see, his message had to be introduced at some point, didn't it? So guess what he does? He shows up in the garden and he introduces his message. He introduces his message to Adam and Eve. And by the way, they fell for the message. And they sinned and cast all of mankind into damnation and on their way to hell. And he impacted the whole world. You see, it was total impact. And that total impact he had was not just on Adam and Eve, but it was on every young man, every young lady, every old man, every old lady. Everybody, it impacted every small child because sin had now entered the world and we were dead in sins. The most negative, destructive, influential person in the history of the world was Lucifer. You see, we're in sin today and we're totally depraved today. Listen, and most of us are in a helpless and think we're in a hopeless situation because of that one person, that influence of negativity. You say, well, preacher, what am I going to do? Well, first of all, let me show you a couple of people that he influenced in the Bible. You don't have to turn there. But he made an impact one day on a man and influenced a man by the name of Job one day. He showed up at Job's house. Job, the Bible said, was a perfect man. Job was a righteous man. But God gave Satan. He says, have you checked my servant Job out? Have you made an appeal to him? Have you tried to influence him? He said, oh, you've built a hedge about him. I can't influence him. And God says, well, I tell you what, I'll give you an opportunity. He says, and by the way, even if I did influence him, he said, if you take all that he has, he'll curse you to your face. God said, oh, is that right? All right, then I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to take the hedge away from you. You take and challenge him. And you know what he did? He abused Job morally. You hear me? He abused him morally. You say, how was that, preacher? He took all of his 10 children and killed them. You say, that sorry, good-for-nothing scumbag, he killed that man's kids? Well, how would you feel about that? Yeah, Satan killed the man's kids. Killed all 10 of his children. Wait a minute, he didn't just abuse him morally. Listen, he abused him financially. He took everything that he had. Took all of his possessions. Everything. And listen, you know how quickly all this happened? Like that. It happened. Bang, bang, bang. He abused him morally. He abused him financially. Hey, he abused him physically. He had sores from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet. They were all over his body. You say, what could be worse than being abused morally and financially and physically? Oh, wait a minute now. There was one more thing. He was abused spiritually. Because his friends, by the way, his friends, they came and for 1 week sit there and looked at him. And then when they did start talking to him, they said, now listen, there's got to be a reason for this. There's got to be a reason that you're going through this. And listen, Satan used the guy's friends to abuse him. He's not your friend, folks. He's an abuser. He's the most destructive, influential person as far as negative things have ever gone in the history of the world. If he impacted Job, he impacted Adam and Eve. Can I say something? He will impact your life if you let him. And you know what? He'll abuse you. He'll abuse you morally. He'll abuse you financially. He'll abuse you physically. Listen, and he is definitely out to abuse you spiritually. You know, he was so arrogant in his influence that in Matthew chapter 4, he showed up after the Lord Jesus Christ came after fasting 40 days and 40 nights. You know who showed up? Lucifer did. He showed up and you know what he thought he could do? He thought he could influence the Son of God. So the very first thing he throws up to Jesus is this. If thou be the Son of God, turn these stones into bread. And Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. You see, he tried to abuse Jesus physically. He tried to abuse Jesus spiritually. He tried to get the Lord to bow down to him and worship him. He said, I'll give you all the kingdoms of the world. Well, first of all, those kingdoms of the world that he was trying to give out, the Lord owned them all anyway. And the only reason that Satan thought he had a connection with him or had rulership over him is because that's where he was cast to and he had been here for a long time because we know him to be the prince and power of the air, right? And so he said, if you'll bow down to me, I'll give you all the kingdoms of the world. You see, Satan, Lucifer, the destroyer, the accuser of the brethren, probably in Scripture, the most negative, destructive, influential person in the history of the world. But can I turn the tables on you this morning? Can I introduce to you the most positive and comforting person in the history of the world? That person is Jesus. You see, just as Lucifer, just as Satan had a negative influence on the whole world, just as he condemned the whole world without God and without hope, without Christ, can I say this morning that Jesus had total impact on humankind as well? 1 John chapter 2, verse 2, listen to it. And he, Jesus, is the propitiation for our sins. And not for ours only, but also for the sins, listen, of the whole world. That means when he died, you know who he died for? Whole world. Listen. Listen, when Satan influenced Adam and Eve and they sinned, you know who he influenced? The whole world. But when Jesus came, he influenced the whole world. Everybody. You see, Jesus is the cure for my sin problem. He's the cure for your sin problem. Hey, listen, he's not just the cure for my sin problem. He's the comfort for my despair problem. Anybody here feel like you're down on the bottom in the bottom of the barrel? Anybody feel here, you say, preacher, I can't go any lower. I'm on the bottom looking up. Is that how you feel this morning? Can I say something to you? That Jesus is the comforter for your despair problem? Why? Because he's the most influential, positive, comforting person in the history of the world. And his positive direction and his comfort will overcome the negative destruction of Lucifer and Satan in your life. But he'll cure your sin problem. He'll comfort your despair problem. Listen, Jesus is the confidence for your fear problem. Did you know most people in here, you don't have to admit to it, but you know in your heart, do you know most people in here live in fear? You do. You live in fear of something. You say, like what? Well, some of you are absolutely petrified of the upcoming election. What's going to happen? We don't know. I tell you what's going to happen. What's going to happen is something that the only thing you have control over is going and casting your one vote. God is in total control. And it doesn't really matter what happens because it doesn't affect my finances at all. You say, why? Because I'm not living on this world's economic system. I'm living on a spiritual economic system. So it's not going to affect me at all. You say, well, yeah, it is. It might affect you in a negative way. Well, if it does, you know what? Greater is he that is in me than he that's in the world. You see, Jesus is the confidence for my fear problem. Listen, he is the chastening for my disobedient problem. Yeah, he's the chastening for my disobedient. Listen, mamas and daddies, if you do it the right way, if you discipline your children biblically, there's a purpose why you discipline, right? You discipline for the purpose of learning. You discipline for the purpose of teaching. And God, the Lord Jesus Christ, is my chastening for my disobedient problem. So when I disobey, you know what he does? He chastens me so that I can get back in line to do the right thing. He doesn't take pleasure in chastening. You say, does chastening and confidence and comfort and cure, preacher, are all of those comforting things, are all of those influential things? Absolutely. But can I say this? Listen now. Jesus is the conqueror for my devil problem. You know what? Everybody in here has got a common problem. You got a devil problem. You've got an adversary that despises everything that you're about and everything you are. He despises your attitude. He despises your direction. He despises your home, your marriage, your kids, everything about you. And listen, he wants to destroy you completely. Why? Because he is the most influential figure in the history of the world when it comes to negativity and destruction. And yet Jesus is the most positive and comforting person. But yet he's the conqueror for my devil problem. Listen, he's the counselor for my learning problem. He's contentment for my groaning problem. And yet Jesus will save whosoever will. That's what he said. He said everybody's got the same problem. We got sin problem. We got fear problem. We got all kinds of problems. He says, but nothing can get beyond my influence. Just as Lucifer influenced the world in a negative way, Jesus now has influenced the world in a positive way. And he wants to save you. He said, whosoever will call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Listen, he doesn't just want to save whosoever. He wants to provide whatsoever. He wants to provide whatsoever that you as a child of God have need of. You see, the only thing stopping the Lord from impacting your life today is you. The only thing that's stopping him from saving your soul today is you. The only thing that's stopping him from providing whatsoever is you. And that leads me to the third most influential. And boy, you're chomping at the bits, aren't you? You say, wait a minute, we've got the devil, and he's talking about Jesus. That's the most two influential people in all the Bible. Oh, no, the Bible talks about another one. Go back, are you still there in Romans chapter 1? Here's the third most influential figure in all the Bible. Lucifer negative, Jesus for positive, but I want to introduce to you today the most powerful force in the history of the world, and that's Christians. Christians. believers. Are you there in Romans chapter 1, verse number 8? Look at it. Paul said, first, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all that your, look at it, circle it, that your what? That your faith, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. You see, a Christian doesn't have to see everything to believe it. You see, I've never seen Jesus in person, but I believe him. I love him because he first loved me. He says, but you believers in this church at Rome, he said, your faith is spoken of, listen now, throughout how far? Talk to me. How much? The whole world. Listen, did Lucifer influence the whole world? Yes. Did Jesus influence the whole world? Yes. And may I say to you today that you can influence the whole world. You can influence the whole world by your faith, by standing for truth in a hostile time. And boy, do we ever live in hostile times. Yeah, we live in hostile times. You see, these believers lived by Christian principles. They were ethical. They were moral, regardless of what their surroundings were. I was it was probably 2 weeks ago. I was in Kroger. And I had stopped in there and got something. And I went to the deli to get it. And the woman, I said, I want two of these. And she put it in the little deal, but she only ran one sticker. And she put one sticker, and she said, thank you, sir. So I was walking up to go up to the counter, and I noticed it only had one sticker. It said $1.59. I said, wait a minute, that's for one. So I went back to the deli. I said, ma'am, you only put one sticker. Oh, thank you, sir, thank you. So she ran up and put another sticker on there. So, but the problem is, when she took the other sticker, she put it on the bottom. So she put one on the top, one on the bottom. So I went up to the cashier, and, you know, they're going, beep, beep, beep. They're beeping my stuff. And then so she went, and listen, all she did was beep the bottom. And so I'm sitting there watching. My wife taught me this. This is good information. It's good counsel. She said, honey, you need to watch that screen, make sure the right prices pop up. So she taught me that. And I listened. So I'm watching the screen. Hey, let me tell you something, guys. You better listen to your wife. They got good counsel. So I'm watching that screen, and I notice only $1.59 popped up. And she said, sir, that'll be such and such. I said, ma'am, I think you've made a mistake. She said, I did what? I said, look at that package right there. Look on both sides. There's a sticker on the top, sticker on the bottom. She said, oh, she said, I can't believe this. I said, what's that? She said, you are actually honest. She said, most people would have walked right out the door and not have thought anything about it. Let me tell you something, folks. I can't do that. You know why? Because I'm a Christian. And you know what? I'm one of the most, not just me because I'm a preacher, but you, Christianity, I'm one of the most influential figures in the Bible. And this church, the scripture says that their faith was spoken of around the whole world. You want to influence? You want to be like Coke? You want to influence the whole world? Stand for right. Don't be afraid to die for Jesus Christ. What an honor to die for the Lord. Well, take your Bible, if you would. go to Matthew 26. We've got a couple of minutes. Go to Matthew 26. Let me show you two more illustrations right quick. Matthew 26. All right, Matthew 26 and verse 6. Now when Jesus, are you there, Matthew 26, 6? Now when Jesus was in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, there came unto him a woman having an alabaster box of very precious ointment and poured it on his head as he sat at meat. And when the disciples saw it, they had indignation, saying, to what purpose is this waste? Now, do you understand what they just looked at? These are people that walked with Jesus. These are people that were being discipled by him, educated by him. This woman comes, breaks open this precious ointment, this alabaster box, dumps it on the Lord, anointing him for his burial, and they thought it was waste. Look at verse 9. For this ointment might have been sold for much and had been given to the poor. When Jesus understood it, he said unto them, why trouble ye the woman? For she hath wrought a good work upon me. And for ye have the poor always with you, but me ye have not always. For in that she hath poured this ointment on my body, she did it for my burial. Now listen to verse 13. This is powerful stuff now. This woman, when she went and dumped this alabaster box of ointment on Jesus, never even considered this. But here's what the Lord said about her. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached in the whole world. Wait a minute, is this the same whole world we just read about, the church at Rome, that their faith was spoken of in the whole world? He says, now listen, he says, wherever this gospel is spoken in the whole world, there shall also this that this woman hath done be told for a memorial of her. Now, wait a minute. Do you think when she went to Jesus and cracked that alabaster box of oil and anointed him, do you think that she had any intentions of that message being promoted around the world? No, not at all. Never even thought about it. So you say, well, then what was motivating her? Well, I tell you what was motivating Coke. Money was. That's what was motivating Coca-Cola. You say, then what was motivating this woman right here? Listen to me, and you listen to me well. One thing and one thing only, love. That's the only thing that motivated her. And you know what love? Love's not looking at finances. Love's not looking at that. Listen, she did it because she loved him. You see, her love for Jesus would be told to the whole world that this woman loved him preeminently. You see, her dedication to Jesus would be told to the whole world. Her sacrifice for Jesus would be told to the whole world. You say, boy, I sure would like to be like that. I sure would like my faith to be known around the world. I sure would like for my love to be known around the world. Then you know what? All you have to do is do what these people did and just follow the Christian life. Follow the details of the Christian life. You see, this woman displayed her inward feelings for Christ with what means that she had available to her. She had the most precious thing that she had, and you know what she did? She gave it to Jesus. And when she gave it to him, here's what he said. This message of this woman and what she's done this day, this message will be spoken of her around the whole world as a memorial to her. Now listen, we've looked at two people. We've looked at the church at Rome. He said their faith will be spoken of around the whole world. He said this woman and her action of love and dedication and sacrifice will be spoken of around the whole world. Let me show you one other, Acts 17. Turn to the book of Acts, chapter 17. Acts 17. Remember the apostle Paul. Remember the missionary journeys of Paul and Silas? Acts 17, verse 1. Now when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where was a synagogue of the Jews. And Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them, and three Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the Scriptures, opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus, whom I preach unto you, is Christ. And some of them believed and consorted with Paul and Silas, and of the devout Greeks, a great multitude of the chief women, not a few. But the Jews, which believed not, moved with envy, took unto them certain lewd fellows of the baser sort, and gathered a company, and set all the city up in an uproar, and assaulted the house of Jason, and sought to bring them, that's Paul and Silas, out to the people. And when they found them not, they drew Jason and certain brethren unto the rulers of the city, crying. Now listen, here was what they were shouting. Here was their battle cry. These that have turned the world upside down are come hither also. Now listen, go back and check me out. They just came from Philippi. Remember what happened there? Remember Lydia? Her whole house got saved. Remember, Paul and Silas were cast in jail, and at midnight they began to sing and praise God. All of a sudden, an earthquake happens. The jailer jumps in. He says, I don't know what's going on with you guys, but what must I do to be saved? They said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. Man, people getting saved. Philippi was rocked for Christ. Church started. So guess what? They show up in Thessalonica. They said, these same guys, we've heard about these guys. These same guys, listen, you know what they accused them of doing? Turning the world upside down. You see, we've read about a woman with an alabaster box. Jesus said that her testimony would be spoken of by the whole world as a memorial to her. We read about the church at Rome. It says their faith will be spoken of, is spoken of by the whole world. But here, can I say, Paul and Silas, their actions as a Christian, their zeal to promote the gospel had so impacted not just Thessalonica, but as far as these people, the whole world. The whole world had been impacted by the zeal of the gospel to promote the word and the preaching of Jesus Christ. Their joy to be a Christian had spread to other people. Hey, folks, listen to me. Not only is Lucifer influential in a negative way, Jesus in a positive way, but listen, we as believers, we're the third kink in this chain. We're the most influential people on planet Earth. You see, they were joyful to be a Christian. They were happy to promote the gospel. They were willing to suffer for the cause of Christ. They were bold in the face of adversity. If you and I keep our mouth closed and do nothing for the cause of Christ, your circle of influence begins to narrow over time. Here we are in 2012. Let me ask you something. Has the influence of Lucifer still making an impact today? Is the influence of Jesus still making an impact today? Listen now. Both of those are still making an equal impact. You know where the flaw is? The flaw is us. The problem's us. Where we have been given trust with the gospel, the thing that hinders us is because we're afraid of men. We're afraid of people. We're afraid of philosophies. We're afraid that somebody's going to call us a Bible thumper. We're afraid that somebody is going to point us out and say, you know what, I know who you are. You're one of them Jesus followers, and we don't want to be recognized publicly. Let me tell you something, folks. I don't find anywhere in the Bible where Jesus ever commanded or hired any undercover believers. Do you? There was no CIA. There's no undercover people. There was nobody hiding. Listen, we were all told to be open. Why? Because we have a purpose in mind. Turn the world upside down. We have a purpose in mind so the whole world can speak about the faith that's been given us in Christ. But also so the whole world can see the love of Jesus Christ. Because that's what they saw. That's what they saw when that woman busted that alabaster box and anointed the body of Jesus. Yeah? Influential people. Satan, his influence is still rolling for negative. Jesus is still rolling for positive. But you listen to me. The problem is us Christians. We're not doing our part. We're not influencing people for the cause of Jesus Christ. Can I exhort you this morning to consider doing what the Lord commanded us to do and be influential? Because we are His hands. We are His feet. We are His voice. And if we'll do what the Scripture commands us to, you know what He'll do? He'll influence the whole world through you and I. Let's bow our heads for just a moment. Heads bowed, eyes closed. How many can say, preacher, I'm a Christian. I know Jesus Christ. I can remember accepting Him as my Savior. You say, I'm proud of it. I'm not ashamed of it. I want you to slip your hand way up high. Say, that's me. That's me, preacher. I'm not ashamed of it. I'm a born-again believer. And I've accepted Christ as my Savior. God bless you. You can put your hands down. Father, almost without exception, probably 95 or more percent of the people raised their hand this morning and said they've been born into the family of God. I pray for them. I pray, Lord, for those that know not Christ, that this morning would be the day. This morning would be the time. This September day, Lord, would be the day. This September 30th would be the day that they could point to in the history of their life and say, that's the day Jesus influenced me. And they came to Christ. But Father, yet there are many in this congregation that are believers. But we're not making the impact that we need to make. We're not influencing at the rate that we need to influence. And yet our time's growing short.
Would you convict us in our heart this morning about doing the right thing? Now, with heads bowed and eyes closed, no one's looking. I wonder if there might be some here this morning that could not raise your hand, would let me pray for you. And you'd say, "Preacher, I cannot honestly say that I've had a born-again experience with Christ. I cannot remember a time where anybody ever opened the Bible and showed me how to be saved. And if I died today, preacher, I'm not sure that heaven's my home. It's not that I don't want to go to heaven. I do. It's just that I don't know it. I've got some doubt about that." And you'd at least let me pray for you. You say, "Preacher, that's me. Nobody's looking but me." You say, "I don't know for sure if I died, I'd go to heaven. Please, preacher, pray for me." I want you to slip your hand up. Say, "That's me. That's me. That's me." Just slip it up. Let me pray for you. God bless you. Anybody else? Just slip it up. Slip it up. Say, "Preacher, that's me. I've never had a born-again experience with Jesus Christ. It's not that I don't want to. It's just, preacher, I've never taken the time out to obey God." God bless you. You can put your hand down. Who will join these two and say, "Preacher, pray for me. Pray for me." God bless you. There's a third one right there. Anybody else? Anybody else? Say, "Preacher, that's me. That's me. I don't know for sure I'm saved, but I'd like to be." God bless you. You can put your hand out. Anybody else? Anybody else will join these four. All right, maybe you're here this morning. You say, "Preacher, I've already been saved, but I've never been baptized after I got saved. I know it's the right thing to do. I know that's what the Bible teaches. I need to obey God in baptism now that I'm saved." You say, "Preacher, pray for me. That's the right thing to do. I need to obey God." I want you to slip your hand way up high. Just slip it up. Slip it up and say, "That's me." God bless you. You can put your hand down. God bless you. And you, and you, and you. God bless you. There's six people right there. You can put your hands down. How many would say, "Preacher, that's me. That's me." Just slip it up. Let me pray for you. Say, "I've never been baptized after I got saved. I know it's the right thing to do. Please pray for me." Anybody else? Anybody else? Then one last thing. I wonder if there might be some Christians here this morning that would say, "Preacher, I haven't been as influential with my Christianity as I should. I know that on my workplace, or maybe you got lost family members, maybe on your job, maybe in your neighborhood, you said, I have not been the most influential people for Jesus Christ as I should. I need to improve. Would you please pray for me?" I want you to slip your hand up and say, "Pray for me, preacher. I want to be influential in my Christianity. I really do. I really do. I really do." All right? God bless you. You can put your hands down. Now, Father, I come to you now this morning with only one authority in mind, and that's the authority of the name of Christ. I pray this morning that, Lord, that you have bound the strong man off of this service, that he has not stolen the seed of the preaching of the Word of God out of the hearts of people. I pray, Father, that this morning that the seed of the Word of God that's gone forth would take root in every heart, and that, Father, that it would grow and that it would begin to produce fruit. Even as I speak, would you supersede my voice with that still small voice of God speaking to hearts this morning? Some need to be saved. Some need to come get baptized. Some need to join this church. Some need to obey you. Whatever the case may be, Lord, would you move in this invitation time? And then there were multiple Christians that need to get back in line and being influential with their Christianity. And oh, Father, please, please help us. Please help us. Satan has influenced the world with sin, but yet Jesus has influenced the world with salvation. And yet here we are, Lord. What have we influenced the world? It's unfortunate to say that most of us have influenced it with self. And Father, we want to put self away and we want to promote the message of Christ. Would you bless these dear people that are believers? Would you empower them, Holy Spirit of God? And would you answer our prayer for this invitation in Christ's name? Now, with heads bowed and eyes closed, let's stand to our feet. If you slipped your hand up and I prayed for you, would you come and join me at the altar this morning? You say, "Preacher, that's me. I need to be saved." Come, we'll have someone show you how to be saved. If you're here this morning, you say, "Preacher, I've already been saved, but I've never been baptized. Would you come? Would you come?" Some of you this morning say, "Preacher, I'm a Christian, but my influence with my Christianity is not what it needs to be. God has given me an opportunity to be influential, literally, around the world, and I haven't been influential as I ought to be. Would you come? Would you come? Come on, come on. If you slipped your hand up and said, "Preacher, I'm saved, but I've never been baptized," this is your opportunity to come. Come on, come on. This is it. This is it. Come on. We'll wait on you. This is your opportunity to step out by faith and do right. Come on, come on. This is your opportunity to do the right thing. You know, we do so many things in our life. This is the opportunity to do the right thing, the dedicated thing, the most influential thing. We're talking about souls, talking about people. Come on.